2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Or with Leah Murray and Greg Skordas. Welcome back. We have with us Patrick Hedger, who is the Executive Director of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So here's the thing, Patrick. I just feel like I thought we'd stop talking about earmarks. Like, I thought we solved that problem 10 years ago. Can you tell us what is going on? Like, why are we talking about it again?
Yeah, so we sort of did solve that problem. When Republicans last had control of Congress, they swore off the practice of earmarks. Of course, Democrats retook control of Congress and brought earmarks back largely. And now that Republicans have control of the House of Representatives, they just voted on their rules for the next Congress yesterday. And unfortunately, by a 2-to-1 vote, House Republicans decided to keep the Democrats' earmarks process in place. So earmarks are once again going to be a thing. We're going to be hearing in the news about the $50 million for indoor rainforests in Iowa and $500,000 for teapot museums in North Carolina. All of that is about to come roaring back.
I love those two examples, and I'm going to watch for those in the news, Patrick. So, but tell me, actually, it occurs to me, I should have set this up better. Can you tell us what an earmark is for our listeners who don't know?
Yeah, so earmarks or pork barrel spending, they're sort of interchangeable terms, and these are little line items of funding that are used essentially, for lack of a better term, to bribe members of Congress to get their votes. It's a really easy way for members of Congress to say, hey, look at this thing I had funded back in the district that created X amount of jobs in exchange for me voting on something I might not otherwise vote for. And so it's, you know, the devil's advocate argument, if you will, for earmarks is that they grease the skids to allow Congress to actually do their job. But look, members of Congress shouldn't need an incentive to do their job. And frankly, even with Democrats having earmarks in place, the job that Congress has been doing has already been spending too much money. So the idea that we need to grease the skids to spend any more money is just ridiculous.
Patrick, maybe I don't understand how this process works, but how is it that any part of Congress, whether the Republican or Democrats, can eliminate earmarks? It just seems like that's part of the process. You can actually say we're not going to have earmarks going forward on our bills?
Yeah, so the House Republicans or Democrats, whoever controls the various chambers, can vote on what the parameters of legislation they're going to support will be. And look, yes, even when Republicans said they weren't going to be doing earmarks anymore in a previous Congress, you know, some sneak in here and there. But in total, they were able to greatly reduce the practice. And so now we're going to see sort of earmarks unrestrained. You would have the sneaky earmarks before, and now you're just going to have the sneaky and the shameless earmarks as well.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
I love that. Sneaky and shameless. So can you tell me what happened, Patrick, to the Republican Party that I feel like used to actually care about, I don't know, not having huge deficits, not having huge debts. And I think like part of the reason we were solving earmarks was try to address those budgetary practices. Why? Look, what's going on?
Yeah, so I want to give credit. You know, I think some folks voted for the reinstatement of earmarks for the right reasons, but I think they're misguided in that vote. There is evidence that, you know, again, allowing for earmarks does allow for the more easy passage of legislation, right? Because you have to clear certain thresholds in both chambers to be able to actually pass these bills. And so sometimes, especially with narrow majorities like we're going to see in this Congress, you need every vote counts. But the problem is that we haven't used this earmarks process to ever reduce spending, to rein in the size of government, right? I could look the other way on certain a million-dollar earmark if it meant a $100 billion cut somewhere else. But that never seems to happen. All we seem to be doing is spending more and more and more. And when Democrats put earmarks back in place, several years ago, let's look at the spending explosion that we've seen over the last few years. We're rivaling World War II levels of spending in terms of the size of our economy. So all it does is greatly increase federal outlays. And look, folks will say, look, an earmark doesn't cost that much in the grand scheme of things. $1 million here, $1 million there is nothing on the scale of the federal budget. But the problem is if you leave a bucket out in the rain long enough, those little drops in the bucket eventually fill the bucket. And that's how we got to this situation where we have $31 trillion of debt.
And Patrick, I'm looking at a study that shows that the 117th Congress, the one that just wrapped up, included 4,963 earmarks worth a total of $9.1 billion. So when you talk about unrestrained spending, I mean, these are significant numbers, aren't they?
Yeah. When you start getting up into the billions, you're then talking about real money on the federal scale. And again, you compound that over the years. That adds up to a lot. And look, it's not just the spending that's a problem. Some of these earmarks are for corrupt purposes. You have earmarks that go out to subsidize businesses that may have connections to members of Congress. And you see lots of manipulation of the marketplace, which, regardless of the cost of that, that's a really harmful thing to do to the economy. It's a harmful thing to do to entrepreneurship and markets, to be picking winners and losers through earmarks and different subsidies. So there's all sorts of nasty ripple effects that go unreported from some of these earmarks. That it's just not the right practice, especially at a time when we have record inflation and it's proven that, you know, greasing the skids has not allowed for a reduction in the size of the federal government. It just continues to grow it larger and larger.
Okay, Patrick. So I am a fan of Congress. Kind of I watch what they do. I pay attention. I need you to tell me, what are the odds, right, what are the odds that Congress could get this under control? So, I mean, earmarks is one piece, but I just feel like, you know, the way that they handle budgeting is very problematic across the board. And I feel like it's not just earmarks. Aren't there other things that they could be doing to get control, and when they're focusing on what they're talking about with this spending?
Yeah. So the simplest way to put it is that for the better part of the last decade, Congress has actually not been going through the normal budgeting process of setting appropriations and then allocating the funds according to those budgets. We just have been having these suspensions of rules and continuing resolutions and suspensions of the debt limit, all of these things to sort of kick the can down the road, because so many people are both sides are really, you know, they're in their respective trenches and nobody's kind of budging. And Democrats and Republicans as well have both been big spenders, have been subsidized by record low interest rates over the last few years. It's been very effective been very affordable for the federal government to borrow relative to raising taxes over the last few years. But now we have interest rates that are adjusting to historical norms, and the cost of just servicing our debt now is rivaling that on an annual basis of our military budget. That's a significant problem. So something has to give. I think with divided government, we're probably right now going to see more of those continuing resolutions and a lack of agreement, but that may rein in any sort of new spending explosion like we saw with unified government under the Democrats in the last 2 years.
Patrick, when the Republicans took over the majority of the House in 2010, they did away with earmarks. And then the Democrats come back reinstating that 10 years later. Why is it now, and maybe you've answered this a little bit, that Republicans being back in control, they can't get that back on the table?
Yeah, I think it's. I think in this particular Congress, it's a product of the fact that the majority is so narrow and every vote is going to be necessary to actually pass legislation, so they don't want to leave any tools on the table. But I still, I think, you know, that's sort of giving them the benefit of the doubt here. I think with a larger majority and with control of the Senate, Republicans may have been able to do something about earmarks. But not taking a principled stand now doesn't offer that electoral alternative in 2 years. Just being Democrats light on spending is not really giving voters much of an alternative. So what they ought to be doing is making the principled stand now to make the case for why people should vote for Republicans at a greater propensity than they did, as we saw last month.
Patrick Hedger, the executive director of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
It's fun to have a guest that doesn't pull any punches.
Right, and knows what he's talking about. That was fabulous. Coming up after the break, what is going on with all these recent layoffs? Like driving in this morning, I heard DoorDash is going to let a lot of their people go, like 6% of their employees. Should people be worried about it? Should they take it as a step for a new opportunity? We'll talk about it after the break.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.